Hello, this is Eric Anderson. First, I want to thank you for investing in the Showmanship Marketing Blueprint. And before we get started with the actual marketing strategies, I want to share with you 9 marketing mindset shifts that you must take ownership of in order to succeed at showmanship marketing. So they're quick, they're brief, and we'll get right to the point. So let's get started. The first one is simply being able to succeed from scratch, which means having a mindset to succeed from scratch. Here's what that means. Oftentimes, people are able to succeed because they have had help in some way, shape, or form, meaning, let's say their wife or husband works for the company and, you know, they have a hookup. Somebody is actually in a position to help them get the event, get the client, get the prospect, whatever the case may be. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is, if you cannot succeed from scratch, as soon as that person or persons is removed from your life, or in this case, removed from your business life, you find it very challenging to succeed. Another example I like to use is, we'll just say back in the day, we'll call it the boom time, everybody was making money. Didn't matter what industry you're in, didn't matter what you did, everybody was making money. It's because they were handing out money. Okay, you could not make money, all right? But now, because of the changes in the economy, because of the changes taking place in the world, people are really literally just sitting around waiting to get through this so-called bad economy. I've actually talked with other business owners, and they're saying, God, if I could just get through this, if I could just wait around and get through this, I'll be okay. Well, here's the deal. This is it. This is what it is now for the next, 13, 14 years. So if you're going to sit around and wait around, you might as well just get out of business, okay? And that's why it's so important to be able to succeed from scratch. We're in a point now in history that if you can't generate business on demand, you're going to fail, okay? Unless, of course, you have the hookup. Unless, of course, you have somebody to help you along. But you don't want your business life to be dependent on someone else giving you the hookup, all right? You want to be able to succeed from scratch. So the first marketing mindset shift that you must take ownership of is that's the attitude of succeeding from scratch. And the easiest way to succeed from scratch is to have powerful marketing strategies put into place in your business that will allow you to succeed. And we've got that covered for you. We're going to share lots of great strategies with you during this audio program. All right. So here's the second marketing mindset shift that you must take ownership of. And that's, you cannot be afraid to borrow from other industries. Let me say that again. You cannot be afraid to borrow successful ideas from other industries and bring them into your industry. So everyone knows my original business, so to speak, performing and speaking as a magician and speaker around the world. That's my original business. What has allowed me to succeed in that business is, of course, great marketing. But in addition, I have taken great marketing from other industries and applied them to my industry, and therefore have experienced major success because of that. So here's what most people do. They find themselves in a business, they're in a sales position, just whatever the case is, and they pretty much turn to their peers to find out what those people are doing to succeed, and they pretty much copycat, right? Well, the problem with that is everybody in your industry is pretty much doing the same thing. In order to succeed on a massive scale, you have to do what everyone is not doing, okay? So a better way of saying that, in addition to what you're already doing that's working, you have to do what everyone else is not doing. And the most powerful way to succeed, right, one of the most powerful ways to succeed and make a huge income leap in your business is to borrow successful marketing strategies from other businesses. So a quick example, just a very, very simple example, is I forgot who shared the story with me, but if you think about the fast food drive-through and how that was created, okay, that was essentially created because there was a guy, a fast food, you know, executive, business owner, whatever the case is, who was going through the bank, who was going through the drive-thru at the bank. And he said, wow, I wonder if we could use this concept in the fast food business. So that's how the drive-through fast food was created. The idea came from an entirely different industry, had nothing to do with banking, right? They're in the fast food business. But they took something they saw that was successful in one business and creatively, not even creatively in this case, but applied it to their business. Just the exact same concept. Instead of pushing money through the window, they're pushing food, all right? So, and that completely changed the entire fast food industry. And it's rare to run to go to a fast food restaurant now, if not impossible, where you don't see this concept that was borrowed from an entirely different industry used in that industry. So you cannot be afraid to borrow ideas from other industries. Because it's common in your industry, right? Because something is common in your industry, when you borrow it from everybody from an entirely different industry, you stand out, okay? And that's what you want. You don't succeed in business by fitting in. You succeed by standing out. So the second mindset shift that you must take ownership of is don't be afraid to look at other industries and borrow their successful concepts and ideas and bring them over into your industry, all right? Okay, so let's go to marketing mindset shift number three. This is one of my favorites. And it's simply, you must go out and commit image suicide. Let me say it again. You must go out and commit image suicide. All right? So here's what committing image suicide is. In business, we were so stuck on looking pretty, looking professional, looking our best. Okay. Now I'm not saying you go out dressed in rags, even though there's people that do. There's a gentleman in Kansas called the Blue Jeans Millionaire. He's made hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, and he does it in blue jeans, and that's his whole moniker and USP. And we'll talk about that later. But anyway, so you can't go out. You can't be afraid to go out and commit image suicide. So here's what I mean by that. Sometimes people get caught up and stuck with like fancy brochures, okay? We're going to talk about something in the marketing section that is far more powerful than a quote-unquote four-color fancy brochure. Remember, the goal is not to fit in. The goal is to stand out. So if every single person in your category, in your business category, is using full-color fancy brochures, well, what stands out? All of a sudden, black and white stands out, okay? So you can't be afraid to commit image suicide. So, so important. You can't be afraid to use concepts that may not look pretty, but are highly, highly effective, okay? There's a story, well, my story. I booked an event with a client. Right, it was a $10,000 event. It was actually $9,980, but a $10,000 event, and they booked the entire event based on what they called a flyer that I sent to them. Okay, a flyer, not fancy by any means. It was on black and white piece of paper. It was actually a few sheets of paper. We'll talk about it later. But they booked this, you know, decent size event based on that. That's all they received from me. That's it. It was that and a phone call, and then checks were being cut to me, all right? So you can't be afraid to commit image suicide. And you must only use what works, okay? All right? So marketing mindset shift number three is you can't be afraid to commit image suicide, all right? Okay, let's move on to number four. Marketing mindset shift number four, and that's understanding the lifetime value of a client, all right? Most people get into business to make transactions, okay? You don't want to get into business to make transactions. You want to get into business and develop relationships, all right? So here's what the lifetime value of a client means. Let's say you're a barber, as an example, okay? Let's say you know, clients invest $20 for a haircut with you. It's not the $20 that they're investing. It's the lifetime relationship over the course of the relationship. That's what you're really making, okay? You haven't seen the money yet, but that's what you're making. So let's use simple numbers. Someone gets their hair cut once a week, okay? And they're a client of yours for 10 months, all right? Just so we can do some simple math. And they're spending $20 a week with you. So that's 2, 4, 6, 8. That's $80 a month times 10, okay? That's $800 in that 10-month period that you were able to generate from that one client, okay? So that's how you define your lifetime value of a client, right? What is, and you just do some basic math. You just say, okay, what do my clients spend with me? And over the course of the relationship, how much do they spend? So you're not getting a $20 in this, the barber example, you're not getting a $20 haircut, right? But you're not giving them a $20 haircut. You are developing a relationship that is actually worth $800 to you. And that's how you need to look at it. The $800 is yours. You just need to collect it over the period of the 10-month period, hopefully longer. So when you understand the concept of developing relationships instead of transactions, right? Now you have a method to go out and continue to develop the relationship. So the longer the person is your client, the stronger the relationship, the longer they are your client, the more that individual will invest with you, all right? So you really have to understand the lifetime value of your clients. This concept completely changed my business when I fully grasped the concept and I really understood it. And here's something else you need to understand about the lifetime value of a client. So, and this is kind of getting into some marketing stuff, but it's very important, so I want to say this. It's simply, okay, so remember, in the barber example, they're not investing $20, they're actually worth $800 to you. So now you know what you can spend to generate a new client. So every new client that comes to you is worth $800. What are you willing to spend to get one of them, right? Would you spend $100 to get 800? I would. Would you spend 200 to get 800? I would. Would you spend 500 to get 800? Right? Okay, that's not a good example, but you get the idea. So here's the thing. So once you have the lifetime value of a client, what a client is worth to you over the course of a relationship, you now know what you can spend, what you can invest to get a new client. So if they're worth $800 to you, and I'm saying this over and over again because it's so important, if they're worth $800 to you over the course of a relationship, right, you could spend a lot of money. You want to be in a position that you could that you're willing to spend more money than everybody else in your industry to generate a new client. So if John down the street, who's a barber, is only willing to invest $1 or $2, $5, $10, but to get a new client, that's it. That's all he's willing to invest. But you're willing to invest $100. You can do so much more with your marketing to strengthen that relationship. And of course, we'll talk about some of those concepts in the marketing section, all right? With the marketing strategy session. So mindset shift number 4 is you must understand the lifetime value of a client. And once you have this number, right? Once you have this number, and if you don't know it up front, that's fine, but you need to figure it out, okay? You need to start to figure out, okay, how long has these customers been with me? What's their average amount that they invest with me, and how long do they, you know, kind of stay with me? And you just work the numbers. So now you have an average of what a new client is worth to you. And once you know what a new client is worth to you, now you know what you can spend, right? What you can invest. Invest is a much better word. What you can invest to generate a new client. So again, number 4 is understanding the lifetime value of a client. Let's move to number 5. And number 5 is you got to realize you're not in the business of whatever your product or service is. You're in the business of marketing your product or service. That's the business you're in. So when I'm in casual conversation with somebody and they ask me, oh, what do I do for a living? Yes, I give them a very general answer that they could comprehend and understand. But the truth is, I'm in the business of marketing that product or service. I'm not in the business of doing it. I'm in the business of marketing it. So you got to take ownership of the idea that you are now a marketer of what it is that you do. You are a marketer of it, right? The truth is, and this is the truth across the board all the time, and it's simply this: all things being equal, okay, the best marketing will always win. The best marketer will always win, right? So that's why you have to delve into, that's why you have to learn, that's why you have to relearn, that's why you have to discover, that's why you have to test, that's why you have to do all of these things to become a fantastic marketer, because that is what is going to allow you to succeed and take your business out of the darkness and put the spotlight on it, all right? And that's what showmanship marketing is about, bringing your business out of the darkness and putting the spotlight on your business. So you are the only thing, the only business, the only organization, the only association, the only mechanic, the only barber, the only, you fill in the blank, that your potential prospects, soon-to-be clients, will see. That's what showmanship marketing is. So you got to realize you're in the business of marketing your product or service and not doing your product or service. Let me say that again. You're in the business of marketing your product or service and not doing your product or service. All right. So that's number five. Number six is simply this. You are not your client. You are not your client. I've seen so many business owners come to me for consulting, want to talk, and they immediately, we go over some marketing strategies, and they immediately come up with this statement that says, oh, my clients won't respond to that. And I say, like, why? Like, why do you believe that? We haven't tested it yet, but why do you believe that? And they say, and they make the statement, because I wouldn't respond to it. Well, that's your first mistake, okay? You are not your client, all right? That's like saying, so if that was the case, all you have to do is look at what you would respond to, copy it, and that means everybody else would respond to it, which is not the truth, okay? So you got to take ownership of the idea that you are not your client, all right? The only thing we are focusing on is results, okay? We're going to talk about that in a second, but the only thing we're focusing on is results. So you have to remove the idea that because you wouldn't do something, your client wouldn't do it. That's not the case. We make our decisions based on emotion, and we back them up with logic. And we all have different motivations and reasons for making those decisions. So for you to sit there and assume that your client's motivations or your motivations, you know, that's not a great way of doing it. So just take ownership of the idea that you are not your client, all right? We're only focusing on results. So marketing mindset shift number six is you are not your client, all right? Let's move to marketing mindset shift number seven, all right? And this is an important one. I've seen so many people pack up, you know, close the doors, all because of this one concept, and that's simply this. You cannot be afraid of what other people think of you and your marketing, all right? When we go through the showmanship marketing system, I'm going to explain some concepts, some ideas, some strategies that are all successful, that have all been used by myself and other very, very successful marketers in the business arena. But because in some cases they are non-traditional strategies, right? Sometimes people get a little afraid about taking action and implementing the strategies, right? And the reason they hesitate is they're afraid of what other people think. Now, you can't be afraid of other people, of what other people think, if you want to succeed. People are going to think whatever it is they want to think regardless, okay? You could go to somebody and do every little thing that they tell you to do, right? And they're still going to have a criticism about it. So don't worry about what other people think. Only focus on the results. And remember, the results, that's the only thing that matters in marketing. It's how you get there. That's what's important, okay? It's the end result. So only focus on results and do not be afraid of what other people think of your marketing. All right. So marketing mindset shift number 7 is you have to become bulletproof to criticism towards your marketing. All right. Okay. Here's marketing mindset shift number 8. It ties in with number 7. That's why it's number 8. And it's simply this. You must focus, only focus, let me put only in there. You must only focus on the people that open their wallets and give you money, okay? Everybody else doesn't count. It doesn't matter what they say, what this, if they're offended by this, if they don't like it, they don't like the color, they don't, whatever. None of that matters. If they have not given you a dime, right? They are unqualified to judge your stuff, all right? The only people that matter are the people that actually pay you. Now, with that being said, sometimes the people that pay you will have criticisms, will have, you know, that's actually a good sign that you're actually doing something right, okay? However, you only want to focus your energies on the people that open their wallets, open their purses, and invest in your product service, in your products and services, okay? That's where you want to put your attentions. A good friend of mine and mentor of mine, Joel Bauer, has a great quote. I can't remember the exact stats, but he said, 75% of the world can't stand me. The other 25% pay me. Who do you think I spend my time with, right? And that's a great, great way of saying it. Now, you could also say, oh, God, I don't want 75% of the world hating me. Well, look, people are not going to like you regardless for a variety of different reasons. And sometimes those reasons have nothing to do with you and everything to do with them. So that goes back to mindset shift number 7. You can't be afraid of what other people think of you, all right? You just got to focus on mindset shift number 8, and that's simply focus on the people that open their wallets and invest in your product or service, all right? Okay, let's move on to mindset shift number 9. And this is the one that will change so much if you implement it. And I don't want to say if, I would rather use when you implement it because it's that powerful. And it's simply this. You must test everything. Testing is what matters. This is what, testing is what allows us to improve, okay? Any and everything that gets measured gets improved. So you want to test your marketing. The first time I really became aware of the power of testing was early on in my business career and my marketing game when I was going to send out a piece of literature to some potential organizations to use my services. And I ran this information by, you know, I'm saying this in quotes, by a friend of mine. He is a friend of mine. But also a so-called marketing expert. And he said he had all these changes. He said, Eric, what you're about to send out is horrible, right? I don't want you looking bad. Let me fix this for you. Okay. So he fixed it for me. And he made all of these changes, completely just changed it. It looked totally different. Okay. I said, well, this is a perfect opportunity to test. So I forgot how big the list was, but I took 100 with the start. And the way you want to test is you want to start in small increments and then scale up from there. But in this case, I had a list. I took 100 and used, I used 100 contacts, and I sent his piece to that 100 contacts, and I took the other 100 contacts, and I sent the piece I generated and sent that to the other 100 contacts. And here are the results. Not a single person responded to the thing that he, you know, suggested I send out. Not a single individual, okay? I had 5 responses to the 100 that I sent out with the piece I put together, right? So that was a good test. It wasn't a perfect test because there's a particular way to test, but that was a good test. So then what I did is I went back to his 100 and I sent my piece and got another 4 out of the deal, right? So you cannot be afraid to test, right? So had I just listened to him, because he was very sincere. He was very kind. He was trying to be very, very helpful with what he was doing. Logically, I knew it was incorrect. I knew it was wrong, right? But I said, you know, take my ego out of the equation and let me test it. So had I listened to him, right, I would have got zero, right? But because I was able to test, I actually improved on those results. And in this case, got nine leads that actually turned into, I think it was 7 or 8, you know, events. So you can't be afraid to test. Now, let's say his piece is the one that worked and mine didn't. Okay, you take your ego out of it. You don't care. Remember, you don't care who's right. You just care that somebody's right. All right, you don't care who's right. You just care that somebody's right. And you want to use the person that's right. So if he was correct, had the thing been reversed, and I sent mine out and got zero, and sent his out and got the 9 or the 5, I would have gone with his. Right, that's the smart thing to do. You take your ego out of the equation. I always like to live my life by that very simple math problem. That's simply this: take your ego out of the equation. All right, especially in marketing. So you want to test everything. Now, there's a couple key ways to test. All right, first off, is the way I tested is actually the incorrect way to test. All right, but it was still a decent test, but it's the incorrect way to test. You want to change one little thing at a time, all right? Because otherwise, you don't know what worked and what didn't work. In the example I just gave you with my friend's piece and my piece of literature that went out to the mailing list, you know, it was just his piece versus my piece. My piece happened to went out. But I couldn't tell you what actually worked in my piece, but what I could tell you is my entire piece worked. But when you're testing, you want to test. You want to change one variable at a time, okay? So let's say we have 2 business cards as an example, okay? And one business card has the email address on it. The second business card has the website address on it where they could go to the website and get the email. Since I just thought of this off the top of my head, I hope this turns out to be a great example. So now let's say you hand out the card that has the email address on it, right? And there has to be some way of tracking it. That's also important about testing. There must be some way to track it so you know where, so you know what piece people are responding to. But in this case, let's say we had a way to track it. I'm not sure what that is yet with the business card. It could actually be 2 different email addresses. But anyway, okay, that's besides the point. Okay, so let's say I hand out the person, I hand the person one business card that says that just has the email address, and I hand the other person, and that person may feel, you know, they may not express this to me, but they may feel it's too much to go to the website and then find the email on the website and then contact you from there. So it may be easier for them just not to respond to you, okay? And then if I'm getting a bunch of emails, right, with the other business card that just has the email on it, well, naturally that would tell me just having the email on there is a little more effective. And of course, this depends on the offer, what I'm offering, and so on. Okay. But you cannot be afraid to test, because any and everything that gets measured improves. So you got to measure everything. You have to test everything. All right. So that's marketing mindset shift number 9. So let's go over to mindset shifts again real quick. Number 1 is you cannot be afraid to succeed from scratch, all right? Remember, there's nothing wrong with somebody giving you a helping hand, but if your entire business success is dependent on that helping hand, you cannot succeed from scratch, and you must be able to succeed from scratch and generate business out of thin air. That's how I like to say it. Generate business out of thin air. Of course, you take advantage of the advantages that are given to you, but again, you must be able to succeed from scratch, okay? So marketing mindset shift number 1 is succeeding from scratch. Marketing mindset shift number 2 is borrowing from other industries. You can't be afraid to look at other industries, look at what other people are doing, and taking successful concepts and bringing them over into your industry, okay? Marketing mindset shift number 3 is you got to go out. You can't be afraid to commit image suicide. You got to go out and commit image suicide. You can't be so caught up in what your, you know, what your marketing materials look like that you therefore don't try something that could be far more effective. All right. It may not be far more. It may not be effective, but you can't be afraid to try it because it doesn't, quote unquote, look right to you. It doesn't look right to your husband. It doesn't look right to your wife. OK, remember, the only thing that matters is the results, And we're here to generate business for you. All right. So marketing mindset shift number three is go out, commit image suicide. You can't be afraid to do it. Marketing mindset shift number four is understanding the lifetime value of your clients. What is a client worth to you? Remember, you're not in the business of transactions. You're in the relationship business, all right? The longer the relationship is, the more profitable it can be to you. I've been in business, I think it's going on 18 years now. And to date, as this is being recorded, my longest running client has been with me 16 of those almost 18 years. That's the longest. The second was about 13 years. Now, I won't tell you what that client has been worth to me over the course of the relationship, but my transaction size is fairly high, okay? And it's only increased over the years. And so that client has been worth, you know, a lot of money to me directly. I'm not even talking about the spinoff business that comes from referrals from this client. I'm just talking about this client directly. That's understanding the lifetime value of the client. Remember, you're in the business of building a relationship. And remember, the second part to the lifetime value of a client is you have to once you know what a client is worth to you, now you know what you can invest in trying to generate a new client. Once you realize that you can spend more than everybody else in your industry, believe me when I say you are going to rock the business world, all right? You are going to dominate your market, all right? So marketing mindset shift number four, remember understanding the lifetime value of a client. Marketing mindset shift number five is realize you're not in the business of whatever it is that you do, okay? You're in the business of marketing whatever it is that you do. That's the business you're in. Now, again, when you're at a social function, networking, whatever the case may be, somebody says, what do you do? Yes, you say, yes, I'm a dentist, okay? I'm a barber, you know, but no, because they're not going to understand. You say, I'm in the business of marketing my dentist services. They're not going to understand that. So just give a general answer. But understand in the back of your mind, you're actually in the business. You're in the business of marketing your products and services, okay? So marketing mindset shift number five is you realize you're in the business of marketing, all right? Marketing mindset shift number six, you are not your client. Just because you wouldn't do something doesn't mean your client won't do it, all right? So you got to get that nonsense out of your head. If it's there, hopefully it's not there, but if it is there, you got to get rid of that, okay? There's a great marketing organization called GKIC, Glazer Kennedy Insider Circle. And one of the founders of that organization, Bill Glazer, with his business partner, Dan Kennedy, has this phrase, my business is different. Everybody thinks their business is different. It's not about that. It's about, you know, you are not, your business is not different. Okay, we're all in the business of marketing. That actually relates to number five. But again, remember, you are not your client. Because you don't do something doesn't mean your client won't do it, all right? So marketing mindset, that's marketing mindset shift number six. You are not your client. Number seven is you can't be afraid of what other people think to you, okay? Think about you in your marketing. You got to become bulletproof to criticism. Become bulletproof to criticism. That's marketing mindset shift number seven. Marketing mindset shift number eight is only focus on the people that open their wallets and invest with you. That's it. That's what matters. You're in a business. A business is designed to make money. That's what you're in business for, to make money. All right? So you only focus on the people that open their wallets and invest with you. All right? And remember, marketing mindset shift number nine is test everything. Don't just throw stuff out there. You got to test it. You got to test A against B. If B wins out, you know, you get rid of A and start focusing on B. Now you find something else that you can test. You test B and C. If B, you know, continues to beat out C, you know, or beats out C, you get rid of C, okay? But you got to keep testing. That's how you keep improving. That's what you find what works. Remember, when testing, you only test one variable at a time. This way, you know what is working. If you just change all this stuff, you have no idea what actually worked and what didn't work. Okay, so you test one variable at a time. It could be a headline. It could be the phone number where it's located in the copy. It could be whether the phone number is bold or not bold, right? It could be, you know, having a photo or not having a photo, all right? But remember, you got to test everything. That's how you improve. So those are the 9 marketing mindset shifts that you must take ownership of to succeed in showmanship marketing. And great. So right now we're going to move to the first audio CD and get started with the marketing concepts. So thanks for listening. Write those concepts down and listen to this again and again. Take ownership of those 9 ideas and you will succeed. This is Eric Anderson. Let's move to the next audio CD.